Game on, boyfriend.
Are you about to dispute my official ruling in the sacred tradition of nose goes?
Technically correct.
I should have known. She didn't like me. I don't think anybody likes you.
I like me.
With Tyler Bischoff.
Okay, the zone's not working. They're a little bit too good to cover man to man. And we can't shoot for shit.
On ESPN Las Vegas.
Hello, Fila. Thank you, Ryan McKinnell. July 10th, they don't have an apparel deal. So, TJ Otzelberger, still recruiting. He's recruiting Las Vegas. We're going to kind of go back into a topic we talked about last month, but it sometimes feels like TJ Otzelberger doesn't know he's recruiting to a Mountain West school instead of a Summit League school. And the Mountain West school that usually gets the best recruits in that. I will preface this. It's early in the 2020 recruiting class. You know, he has two commits already. Most schools don't have any. And they could end up having like six players in the 2020 class. So we don't have a very big picture. It's very early to jump in on some sort of hot take. But UNLV is usually looked at as, oh yeah, that's a school. Even though they're in the Mountain West, that's a school that can get high-level recruits. That's a school that can get top 100 big name recruits to come there. But they have two commits so far, Nick Blake and Isaac Lindsay. Lindsay is the unranked recruit out of Wisconsin. Blake is a three-star who is like 175-ish is the range in which he is ranked. So not bad, but certainly not top 100 four or five-star type kids. Now, Mike Grimal in The Sun has a story on UNLV recruiting Donovan Yap from Arborview in Las Vegas. Yap is a three-star in the 2020 class. 24/7 currently ranks him 271st in the country.
So top 300.
Yeah, hooray! Yap took an official visit to UNLV in June. His quote was, UNLV is a good program. I really feel like they're going to make some noise next year. They have a good coaching staff, and their play style is nice. I feel like we have a good connection. I think they'll do a good job next year and the next couple of years. There sounds like there's hints of TJ Otzelberger saying we're going to make the NCAA tournament in there, right? Like, he doesn't come out and say that, but it sounds like there's hints of that, where Otzelberger's like, yep, we're going to the NCAA tournament. And so he's like, yeah, they're going to make some noise. So the coach said, so there's some hints of that in there. UNLV offered him a scholarship, and according to The Sun, Fresno State, Nevada, Colorado State, and Grand Canyon have offered him recently. So it looks like he's got a bunch of people that think he's a Mountain West level player when you have a handful of Mountain West schools recruiting him. But I say we're going back into a topic, as we had a couple weeks ago. You know, I had a couple people after Isaac Lindsay, who was unranked, committed, saying, what's happening with this recruiting? Like, why is it unranked, guys? And now you have two kids outside the top 150. You have like 175, 275, and then unranked. I think it's if you're a UNLV fan, I think it's a fair feeling to sit there and think, wow, this is underwhelming. Like, I think it's fair to sit there and say, huh, this feels like what a coach at South Dakota State would be recruiting.
I mean, bench guys. We need bench guys.
Right, and so there's a couple of things. Like, I think that's a fair thing to think right now, even though it's still early in the picture. There's a couple things that you can throw up and say, all right, be patient, like, calm down. The first thing is, it's still early in the process. Like, again, there could be six players in this class. If they get Donovan Yap, you've got three kids. They could get three more kids that are all much better than them. And then that's going to be a terrific class if that's the case. So that's the first part, is we don't have a very big picture here. We have a very small picture of what the recruiting class is going to be. The other part is simply roster construction. If you look at that 2020-2021 year, you're projecting to have David Jenkins and Amori Hardy. Those are going to be your ball-dominant guards. Those are going to be the guys that take all of the shots. You don't really need high-level guards on that team. You don't really need anybody that could conceivably be a one-and-done guard on that team. It'd be nice if you got one that was better than those two, of course. But if you're trying to build out the roster, you have Hardy and Jenkins for year two. You need more complementary-type players around that. So that might be sort of where Otzelberger is going. And in his mind, they'll come in for 2 years, they'll be behind Hardy and Jenkins in year one. Jenkins will be our guy in year three, because he's going to be a senior that year. And then when this 2020 class is juniors and seniors, I've developed them into ready to take over. Like, I think that's probably some of what he's thinking here, is like, those first 2 years, I need guys to play around Hardy and Jenkins, and then just Jenkins. year three, I need guys that'll be developed into that. But even if you were trying to say, hey, I need role players for year two, everyone, throw Donovan Yap in there, plus the two commits, they're all ranked worse than Bryce Hamilton and Trey Woodbury were.
Yay!
And we just saw what they were as freshmen. They didn't get a lot of playing time. It wasn't that effective when they were in there. So that's sort of where your expectations, I think, would be for these types of players coming in as freshmen. Again, listen, maybe Otzelberger's great at recognizing talent before everybody else, because there's a chance all these kids blow up. Like, there's a chance all these kids are have great senior seasons and they go from being 175 and 275 to 65th and 107. Like, there's a chance that happens. That's giving T.J. Otzelberger a lot of credit, but we'll see. Every time there's another recruit or commit to UNLV that's like, oh, he's ranked 211, I'm sort of more and more like, eh, what's happening here? Like, if they get three more of these, it's going to be like, oh, what is this?
I mean, maybe they are recruiting higher level guys and they're all the guys are like, let me see how year one goes.
Possibly. That's true. That could be fair. Yeah, it's like, oh, yeah, you say you're going to the NCAA tournament, but like, I can go to school that is going to go to the NCAA tournament for sure. So yeah, we'll see how you do. Donovan Yap told the Sun he plans to make a commitment at the end of the month. So I look forward to refreshing his Twitter page, waiting for his video to load well after he said that he was coming.
At least 3 to 4 hours or days.
I actually don't know if he has a Twitter page. I don't think I've seen one ever for Donovan Yap. We'll see.
Oh, dude, we got to call his dad, tell him to...
That's right.
Create a Twitter page.
So my favorite part of this, though...
He won't even be on UNLV's radar at that point.
My favorite part of this story is the theme that we've now seen consistently of people dumping on Marvin Menzies. It's become...
I love this guy.
Incredible. Like, every time there's a story about a Las Vegas kid getting recruited by UNLV, there is a quote about how bad Marvin Menzies was, because here's what Donovan Yap said, and this is fairly tame, and it wouldn't have even really stuck out that much had it not been for three or four other guys saying the same thing. But here's Donovan Yap: the last staff were kind of recruiting me, but I don't feel like they were recruiting me hard. But as soon as Coach TJ and Coach Slocum and the new coaching staff came, that's when I got the offer right away. They were really looking forward to building a relationship with me, my mom, my dad, my family, trying to get me on a visit. It definitely picked up after they took over at UNLV. It's incredible.
I will say there is a red flag.
Family?
Yeah.
Yeah, it is. He did. So I will say, if we're going to pick into the semantics of it, he did not say Otzelberger feels like family.
Okay.
He just said Otzelberger was recruiting or trying to establish a relationship with his family.
I'm just saying, any recruiting story I read, I immediately control F, family. Type in the word family, and then who?
But we've had, so the worst quotes were from Coronado's head basketball coach about Marvin Menzies, where it's basically like, these guys weren't in the gym. He's like, these guys, like, Kevin Kruger's been here more than Menzies was his entire tenure. And Kevin Kruger's been on staff for a month. And we had Nick Blake say something similar here, and now Donovan Yap saying, like, yeah, they talked to me, but TJ and Slocum really made it a priority. So, like, it's just funny to me. Every single time there's a Las Vegas kid getting recruited by UNLV, they're like, wow, Marvin Menzies didn't care about me at all. I've seen TJ Otzelberger 45 times in a month. Like, that to me is just will always be the most incredible thing about this recruiting process. And I hope, like, I almost hope TJ Otzelberger keeps recruiting just local kids so we continue to get these quotes.
I mean, eventually, though, it'll be like, who's Marvin Menzies?
Yeah, at some point that will happen. Like, there's a kid in ninth grade who doesn't know who any of these guys are. But right now, it's great.
Yeah.
It's wonderful. Awesome. All right, so we're going to have Brett Lashbrook on the show, owner of Lights FC. We need to do a little bit of a preview for everybody with some sound, because we're going to play a game with Brett, and we're going to make a callback to before I even worked here. So we got to preview this here. Last year, Lights FC, during their games, widespread throughout the crowd was the Puto chant, which is, it happens in Mexican soccer, the fans chant.
I'm not 100% sure you're allowed to say it.
All right, okay. Well, we're going to play some audio that says it too. It's a derogatory phrase.
It's a slur.
That the Mexican fans chant at the opposing goalie when he takes a goal kick. It was quite loud last year, and it was kind of hilarious because lights would try to drown it out with the PA system or by trying to start a Viva Lights chant. And every time they do that, the chant would be louder and louder and louder. It was funny. So at some point during last season, they had Chalis do a video to try to dissuade the fans from chanting this. Here's the audio of Chalis saying that.
The one favor, please. The goalkeeper to another team that they played tomorrow is my friend. Please, when begin the game, the goalkeeper, don't say puto. Please, he's my friend. And I know that for me, you give me this favor. Please, don't say puto to the goalkeeper. He's my friend. Thanks.
Did he go to the Donald Trump School of Elocution?
That sound is so amazing because Chalice is trying to dissuade people from using the chant. And he uses it himself twice. He says, don't say this word, and then says it twice in the video.
And it's also amazing that it's like, I'm not sure the fans like you enough to be like, oh, he's my friend.
All right, guys. This was early in the season. We were all in on Chalice because he was hilarious. All in on it. So we'll be using part of that later for
Brett
Lastbrook.
Don't say.
Exactly. Like, that would have been the chant that he would have come up with. Don't say this. Wait, you don't want to say it, but we need to say it in a chant? I'm confused, Chalice. That would have been what happened. So keep that in mind. We're going to play a game with Brett Lastbrook, and it'll have to do with Chalice and Ronaldo because, obviously, that's the greatest thing to do. Technically Correct, brought to you by Boyd Gaming. Professional tennis is coming to Las Vegas. The Orleans Arena will host the Las Vegas Rollers' inaugural season in the World Team Tennis League. The Rollers are led by the greatest doubles pairing in history, the Bryan brothers. Their first home match is July 20th. The World Team Tennis Playoffs are also at the Orleans starting in August. Tickets are on sale now at Ticketmaster or go to orleansarena.com/events.
Check out the podcast on lvsportsnetwork.com.
Hey, it's Tyler Bischoff. Want the easiest way to bet on sports in Las Vegas? Download the Be Connected Sports app for free from the Apple or Google Play stores. Then head to your favorite Boyd location like the Orleans, Gold Coast, or Sun Coast to create an account. And with just a $100 deposit, you'll get a free $50 to wager. Then you'll be able to bet before or during the games you love to watch. Plus, if you use Pay Near Me, depositing money into your account can be done at 7-Elevens, Family Dollar Stores, or CVS Pharmacies. It's the Be Connected Sports app from Boyd Gaming.
Bischoff's Briefs.
Underpants.
No, I don't want to go to a party in your pants.
Bischoff's Briefs.
Underpants!
Bischoff's Briefs.
Very well.
The Raiders have signed first-round pick Josh Jacobs.
That was early. Victor Ford of The Athletic wrote last week, there's a growing sentiment that Jacobs will not be at camp when rookies report on July 23rd. Michael Gelkin of The RJ last night tweeted out, there was no concern within the organization about deal getting done before camp. Source fight. I love that so much. It's easier for come out and say after the deal signed that there was no concern than it is to come out before and say, hey, there is concern. We disagree on Josh Jacobs' usage this year, right?
What do you mean?
Like, I think they're going to make him workhorse running back, and you think they're going to use more Richard and Martin?
No, I think they're going to try to use him as like a three down situation guy, but I also think that John Gruden is the guy that's like, all right, I have a special package for Chris Warren. It's 27 plays. It's a small substitution into the playbook.
That's true. I just feel like I think Josh Jacobs is going to be the running back, and they are going to give him 80% of the workload there. Like, I think that's what it's going to be.
I agree with you on that, except I put that number at 60, and then I think the other 40 will just be like, Antonio Brown lining up in the backfield. Oh, it's a direct snap. Oh, he threw it to Derek Carr.
Wow,
oh,
that was
God,
better
Derek
than the regular
Carr's
offense.
Back is broken. Like, yeah.
Yeah, no, I get that. I just am... I definitely think, Josh, they are going to say, we drafted Josh Jacobs in the first round. We are going to give him 200 carries in his first year, and we're going to throw it to him 95 times.
That'd be awesome.
Like, I absolutely think they're going to do that. How good he's going to be?
All right, well, here's the bet. Does he average more than 3.5 yards? Because I'm going to go no. I don't think that's happening.
How good do you think the offensive line's going to be?
It's going to be better.
It should be good, right?
I can't imagine that Richie Incognito has forgotten how to maul people.
He's actually very good at that. That's the one thing he doesn't forget. But, like, it should be good. Like, the offensive line should be good. I guess it kind of depends on how good Colton Miller is as a left tackle if he's fully healthy. But, I think Jacobs is going to have a good year. Like, because I think he's going to get a ton of carries, and the offensive line should be okay.
I just don't know how much into space they're going to get him with their running attack. Like, I think he might catch 2 corner routes per game.
Well, but the funny thing will be if they're behind by 3 touchdowns. Oh, he's just going to run out of the backfield. There you go. 7 yards. Yeah, it's going to happen 5 times a game if they're losing by 3 touchdowns.
And meanwhile, we're going to get tweets that are like, Derek Carr's completion percentage was 82% for 162 yards.
Perfect.
The Aces may play their postponed second half with the Mystics in August here.
So the earthquake caused the second half of Aces Mystics to be postponed. Washington does not come back to Vegas this year. The Associated Press is reporting that August 5th or 6th, they could play in Vegas because the Mystics will play in Phoenix on August 4th. The problem, though, is Mandalay Bay has Michael Jackson, Cirque du Soleil, scheduled for that day. And you apparently cannot kick out Michael Jackson, Cirque du Soleil. Damn casinos. So if they were to play this on August 5th, they might play at UNLV, Random High School, Sunset Park.
Like, yeah, I was kind of hoping for an outdoor game.
The first WNBA outdoor game.
Hey, we're only playing a half. The first half of an outdoor.
So Lambeer also told the Associated Press because they play at Washington on Saturday of this week. And Lambeer told the Associated Press he is completely against playing the second half in Washington before the actual game they're supposed to play. Because he's like, why would we give them home court advantage? Like, well, you're not going to have it either because you're going to be playing at Thomas and Mack or something like that. But he doesn't want to give them that. The other thing is the Aces are down 15 at halftime in this game. So they're going to...
Well, they're going to come back well-rested.
They're going to schedule to play 2 quarters of basketball where the Aces are already down by 15, and they're going to play it at Cox Pavilion. I don't know. They're going to play that somewhere else. Like, what's the point? Can they just take the loss, right? Wouldn't that be better? Like, if you're the Aces, absolutely not. You want this to be the most ridiculous setup you can have because you're down 15 and it's basically a loss. If you could somehow play this at Sunset Park where the wind blows Elena Deladon shot off, you're taking that because you might come back and win. But if you're the WNBA, you just want the Aces to take the loss, right?
I mean, it wouldn't be the first time that they had to just take an L.
That was against Washington last year, too. That was them trying to fly to Washington, where they had to end up forfeiting. Well, they didn't have to, but they ended up choosing to forfeit because of their travel troubles. So playing the Washington Mystics is an absolute nightmare for the Aces.
Got to schedule better, man.
AT&T may sell AT&T Sportsnet.
So AT&T owns a few regional sports networks, including the channel the Golden Knights are on. Apparently, AT&T, Bloomberg was reporting, apparently AT&T wants to cut like $8 billion, and if they think they could sell their regional sports networks for $1 billion. Golden Knights are on one of those. I really wish there was a true Las Vegas local sports channel.
Like
a 24-hour sports that's Las Vegas local sports. Like, it's a regional sports network, but it's for Vegas.
I mean, I wish we had a radio network like that.
Because you could do it. Like, you would have that channel. Golden Knights can be your priority. And, like, all their games are on there unless they're picked up by national TV. And then UNLV games that aren't on CBS Sports Network or ESPN, that's where they get picked up too. And then Lights and Aces could play on a channel that's actually in high definition on DirecTV instead of standard definition and 2 times the screen size. And like the best part would be like having some sort of like daily programming. about Las Vegas sports. Hell, simulcast us. It'll be great.
Yeah. Simulcast.
Well, like,
that was the joke.
This is the idea here. Oh, and then you have the Raiders coming. Not that you'll have their games, but you can do Raiders. Like, the Golden Knights already do tons of video stuff for, like, social media and the internet. Just put it on a television. Boom. Golden Knights television show.
Boom.
Boom. It's done. All right. There you go. Somebody with more money than that. There you go. There's an idea for you. You got to simulcast us, though.
I wouldn't.
Jonah Antonio and Australia will play for a University Olympic Games bronze medal.
It's a mouthful, wasn't that?
Well, the UOGB.
So the game is tomorrow. Australia's playing Israel. Australia lost to Ukraine in the semis. Jonah Antonio, over the five games, he scored 28 points. He's 8 of 17 from 3. Is very good. Only 2 of 5 on two-pointers. I'm not really sure how many minutes he's played because they don't seem to keep that in their box score for some reason. But so his numbers here in 5 games, small sample size, but he's only taking 3.4 threes per game and averaging 5.6 points per game. That basically needs to be doubled for UNLV, right?
Yeah.
Like, he needs to be shooting like 7-8 threes per game and scoring whatever that ends up, 11 points, something like that. Like, he should be going 3 of 8 from three. Like, that should be his per game average, and like 1 of 2 from two pointers or something like that.
With three steals.
That's right. He's playing hard as bleep. He's gonna get blown by 17 times, but he's gonna get those three steals. So, like, that to me should be sort of what his average is.
Can we set up a defense where he gets blown by and then there's just four guys waiting there to
throw a bow? Yeah. So it's going to be a two-man defensive scheme here where Jonah Antonio just tries to steal everything and Mbaki Zhang just stands by the rim.
So, I got it.
So when ultimately Jonah Antonio does not steal everything, Mbaki Zhang will at least prevent a layup. You might get a wide open jump shot or a wide open three, but you're not going to lay up because Mbaki Zhang is there. Perfect defense. But I do think John Antonio is going to start over Bryce Hamilton.
Yeah.
Like, because I, and well, granted, they could both start if they go to four guards, but John Antonio has a known skill set that should work perfectly with Amori Hardy. He shoots threes. Bryce Hamilton shot 29% from three last year. We don't know what Bryce Hamilton's skill set really is because we didn't really see it. So I think John Antonio is going to be better than Hamilton this year.
Rebels will host Duke on November 14th.
And play that game at Thomas and Mack. They're also going to play their season opener against Cal State Fullerton at Thomas and Mack, so that's probably going to be a doubleheader because the men play Kansas State that same day.
I love the doubleheader.
I'm curious. I want to say they've done doubleheaders before. Am I wrong in thinking they did a doubleheader like last year or 2 years ago where the women played at noon and the men played at 7? And so it wasn't
a true doubleheader.
Yeah, they've done an actual doubleheader in the past where there was only like whatever an hour between games. But I want to say they did one recently where it was like a noon and 7. It was like
I don't even want an hour. I want 15 minutes.
Yeah, that'd be great. That'd be wonderful.
Just stay in your seat.
That's right. Just roll it out there. Let's keep going. They also have a tournament with in Vegas with Virginia, Mississippi State, and South Florida. Mississippi State went to the Elite Eight last year. Oh, they lost. I forgot to say they lost to Duke last year, 66-38, at Duke.
Not great.
That was when the Aces. That was when the Lady Rebels went. What did they go? 2-9.
Yeah.
In non-conference play.
When everyone was injured.
Yeah. And they were like, we might.
Certain
win a game.
Players were actively trying to injure the opposing team.
Well, they had Tervell Beck.
I don't think Tervell Beck once actually meant to
Not at all. But it was great. He was the destructor, the destroyer of the day. Listen, whoever's in Cleveland State's conference this year, they better watch out. Because Tervell Beck is coming for your best player. Not on purpose.
No, not at all.
But you're going to have a guy with 20 at halftime. He's got a broken nose as soon as the second half starts.
All right. Do you want to hear about a special event?
Hold on. We got to do this first. 4 seconds left in the third quarter. The Las Vegas Aces are losing to the Indiana Fever 60-54.
I thought you said they were awful.
They are awful, so it means the Aces. Well, it's 9 a.m. when this game started in Vegas.
Yeah, that's fair.
That's what we're blaming this on.
Well,
there was a total of 24 points scored in the first quarter of that game.
You tell me this. How many points does Kelsey Plum have?
Oh, I got to click on the box score, actually, now.
Oh, okay.
Let's see how well she's shooting. Tell us what's happening on Saturday, and I'll give you a Kelsey Plum update to the break.
All right. Are you ever sick and tired of some of the personalities here on ESPN Las Vegas?
Always.
Yeah. Well, now we're having a post-Summer League event this Saturday. We will be at GameWorks Esports Lounge starting at 6 p.m. You can come out and you can challenge your favorite ESPN Las Vegas personalities. There'll be sports analysts, maybe even some players from the Summer League.
Uh-oh.
We're going to be sending out invites.
Uh-oh.
You can challenge them. Try to play them. Beat us down.
I'm terrible at video games.
Okay, but Ryan McKinnell isn't, and everybody hates Ryan McKinnell. So it's just going to be glorious to watch Ryan McKinnell basically just, oh, yeah, I know you hate my opinions. Now let me destroy you. But, yeah, we're teaming up with Comp on this. It's going to be a hell of a lot of fun. There's going to be, you know, there's hundreds of games there. It's GameWorks. It's right in inside Town Square. Go see a Summer League game, and then afterwards bring the whole family. Bring your esports skills, your hunger, and GameWorks has everything else. So if you want the opportunity to beat Tyler at Madden.
If you challenge me to anything, you will beat me.
Yeah.
There is no doubt.
If you want to do that, come out to GameWorks this Saturday at 6 p.m.
I also might throw a controller.
We don't own those, so please don't.
I might throw a controller. Kelsey Plum, through three quarters, has 11 points.
Oh, okay, so she's got to get to 24.
Three of 11 shooting.
That's okay. Well, at least some of them are going in.
You're listening to Technically Correct with Tyler Bischoff, brought to you by Boyd Gaming. You're listening to Technically Correct with Tyler Bischoff.
I'm a fireball.
Brett Lashbrook is in the studio, owner of Lights FC for now. A little bit out of breath.
Someone's car is having a bad time at Charleston and I-15. I'll just leave it at that.
He's better at traffic reports than you are in the press box, Jared.
Yeah. I normally figure out how to do traffic reports by Friday of filling in on the press box, and then Clay's back, and I don't do them for 8 months.
All right. Let's just start with the game. We got a game.
We have a game. Okay. Right. I like games.
It won't be that.
Although
crazy.
A Tyler Bischoff game scares me a little bit.
All right. It's Ronaldo or Chalice is how this game is going to go. Okay.
Okay.
So
I've
got questions for you.
This is a loaded game. Okay.
I've got questions for you. And you have to figure out if the correct answer is Ronaldo or Chalice.
Okay. Let's do it.
So the first one.
Because I feel like I have a PhD in both of them.
I would hope so. So the first one. Who was suspended earlier in the calendar year of their first season as Lights FC manager?
It'd be Chalice. Now, do you count exhibition games? Yes. We're going to count exhibition games, and I'm going to give it to Mr. Chalice.
Play it again for us.
Don't say it, puto. Please, he's my friend.
So, yes, Chalice's first suspension. Well, I guess even if it was an exhibition game, yes. USL spent him on May 4th.
Okay. You gotta clarify between them.
For poking a ref, and then
allegedly, I want to be very, very clear on this one. All joking aside, allegedly, and when it went through the appeal process and went to U.S. Soccer Federation, that was downgraded due to multiple firsthand witness accounts that said that didn't occur.
Ronaldo wasn't suspended until his actions on June 29th.
There you go.
Getting sent off. All right. Which coach has the better record by points per game on the road?
I believe that would be Chalice.
Don't say it, puto. Please, he's my friend.
Okay, that's an interesting audio choice, obviously.
I honest to God think we might get a letter after this.
Yeah,
after
what I would say is that can be certainly viewed as offensive amongst many people, so I will...
Definitely a slur.
Yeah.
Chalice had, and this includes the games in which he had quit and was suspended, but the Chalice year, 9 points from 17 road games. The Ronaldo year, 4 points from 8 road games.
Okay. So it's still early. It's still early. 0.5. It's still early.
Ronaldo, we trust, it's still early.
Needs
2 wins on the road the rest of the year, and he will beat that.
Park the bus.
Who had the better U.S. Open Cup run?
They were. It has to go to goal differential at this point. Mm-hmm. So goal differential would be Chalice.
Don't say it. Puto. Please, he's my friend.
Again, I'm not sure that's the best. audio choice.
Dude, I work
All joking aside, that's.
I'm a lowly board op.
Yes.
Both got knocked out in the second round.
Both got knocked out in the second
Both
round.
By one was one teams.
Yes, one was a one goal loss in the 89th minute, if I remember correctly, and one was three goals in the last 5 minutes of the game, if I remember correctly.
All right, this is an essay style question for you.
Okay.
There's no correct answer.
Okay.
Both coaches hired their son. Who's more useful? Isidro, Chalice's son, or Tim?
Oh, that's a
son?
Very good question. It's a loaded question, and I will say I like both of them.
That's
and I'm not trying to run the fence. I will say, and I've said this before, I think Isidro is really, really misunderstood. Isidro is a really, really good person, a really, really good guy. He did everything that we asked of him, and he's going to make a great coach, and he's going to be a coach for the next 40 years. I know he would love to come back to the States and continue his career.
What is he doing?
He's currently a head coach of a second division team in Mexico. And obviously Chalice is coaching a first division team in Puebla. Isidro is a really, really good guy. Tim is obviously much younger, serves as our equipment manager, Eric's son. So they're two very different roles, but they're both good guys.
He was also, what was Tim in the team photo?
Was he was the magician, El
the
Mago.
Magician.
Yes, he
go.
Is. He is an unbelievable magician, self-taught.
Oh, he actually is a magician.
Oh my God. he, honest to God, can do card tricks that will make the whole team like turn, you know,
I thought that was
white
just
as a ghost.
To be
no,
Vegas.
No.
100%. He's actually a magician.
The kid carries around a deck of cards in his jacket wherever he goes at any point in time. You can ask him to do a trick, and he'll do it. It's amazing.
That's gotta make Dad proud. Like, oh, who are you? Oh, I was kind of a national big deal on the U.S. men's national team, and my son, the magician, is right here.
No, Tim is. I'm telling you, he's gonna have a show on the Strip here soon. He is a really, really, really good sleight of hand magician.
All right, what's happening with Seth Klarman downtown Las Vegas? And this, we're in what day? Like 30, 31.
Who's counting? Who's counting? Right?
There's only 180 of them, so somebody better be counting.
I honestly don't have an update. Other than I have full confidence and have received nothing to make me think otherwise that everything isn't progressing at the right speed and the right conversations and the right path. I spoke with the mayor recently, and she couldn't have been more excited about what is potentially happening here. So I feel very confident that a deal is there to be done. But please understand, all the fans out there and all the listeners, these are complicated deals, right? You're talking about 60-plus acres. You're talking about a lot of different...
It's been 30 days. What
there's a lot
doing?
Of T's to cross and I's to dot. But when you have, I'll call it... I don't want to call them side conversations. That's the wrong way of saying it. But you have informal conversations with all the different parties, and they all continue to say the same thing of how excited they are. It makes you think, yes, this is going
to
happen.
Have you had to have a meeting yet to schedule a further meeting?
I think that's the story of my life.
Yeah, that's...
God bless all the city employees. I love them, but I think that is bureaucracy 101, is that you have to have meetings about meetings.
So... what happens next year? Are you the owner of the... I know it depends on what happens in this 180-day negotiating window, but are you the owner of the team next year?
It all depends on what happens in these 180 days. So if the city council passes an agreement for what's called a master development agreement, which gives this third party the right to go develop 60-plus acres in downtown, including Cashman, I and my family have agreed to sell 100% of the team at the point that city council turns over the land to them. If the city council and they are not able to reach an agreement, then my family continues to own the team 100%. So obviously it's an unusual situation to have a 6-month, I'll call it, contingency sale potentially out there. But as I tell the staff, right, everything is status quo, and we are continuing to operate just as we are, and we'll continue to plan for next year just as we are.
If it happens, just say like right now.
Right.
You own the team through the rest of the season?
Correct. Okay. I will retain 100% management control of the team through the 2019 USL season, even if they close a deal with the city before that.
Okay. And then next year, no more Brett Lashbrook. Are you going to buy season tickets?
I will absolutely.
Me?
Well, I don't know about it. I think I'll buy nicer tickets.
Nobody,
oh, man.
Nobody sat to the left of me all year.
Well, I will.
Why don't you?
Well, you know, I have to check my calendar. I'm not certain. Don't make me answer that on the air.
Okay, well, we got to get. If no one sat next to his left, we need to get those tickets to give them away so that way annoy Tyler during the one part of his life that he enjoys.
Look at Tyler. He's not even smiling. He doesn't think that's funny. He doesn't think that's funny.
I know him well enough.
He likes to put his hot dog and nacho bowl right there
exactly.
on the chair.
That's great.
And then send me texts about why he can't bring his dog to the stadium.
Yeah, which is unbelievable. Unbelievable, Brett.
Is there any contractual language in the sale where they will complete the luchador? Because you've given away the cape and the mask.
Oh, that is a good.
You know,
so
that is
still
a,
need the.
That is a great point. And I feel like my reputation and my honor is on the line because I've made that promise to fans that we
but
will.
But you have not worked this. We, in yet.
You know, I will.
He's
will
got
be,
to schedule a meeting about the meeting.
Yeah. You know, there's a lot of discussion internally about how we should complete the luchador outfit. Obviously, last year we gave the luchador mask. This year we gave the cape.
Underwear
in
boots.
My mind was a title belt. But yes, as Tyler pointed out, a lot of people are saying they want the bikini briefs.
Yeah.
But I'm not quite sure.
First,
you know, well, it's not exactly a one-size-fits-all item at the, at the stadium doors.
All I need is for him to have to do an entire show in the full outfit.
You want a loaded question?
Yeah, sure.
Why didn't you pay Urban Parra?
Oh, wow. That is that is hashtag fake news right there. So just to clarify and to defend my honor on this one. So Mr. Parra is a player on our team. There was an internal matter that I'll let him and Coach Winalda speak of if they want to speak about
there
that.
We've covered it.
Speak about that publicly. And obviously we've handled that internally. And just to clarify... Mr. Parra has been paid in full.
Before the season started, there was talk about a USL players union.
Yes.
Getting started. Is
yes.
that is there anything more on that? Like, is that taken off or has that sort of been put aside?
I know that they're having active meetings, and I think that they've publicly said that their goal is to implement something by next season. So I am the league office is leading that. I know there's representatives on every team involved at the player level, and then a select group of team owners. I don't want to sound too cliche, but I think all the sides understand what is needed. I don't anticipate it being a controversial issue, and I imagine that there'll be an announcement later this year.
This is a fairly poorly phrased question, but like
we wouldn't expect anything else, Tyler.
Like getting a players union, is that one of the biggest things for the USL being like a legitimate second division league in US soccer? Like it is a legitimate league, but like I feel like to me when I hear, oh, they don't have a players union, and you have stories where guys are like, oh, I only get paid if I play and stuff like that, it just
right.
It feels like, oh, that's not true professional soccer.
I think it's the eyes in the beholder. I think that we're already wholly professional with 37 teams across the U.S. and Canada, and national team players and the caliber of play. But yes, I think especially in the American sports market, having a players union just further provides stability to a league that has gone from 8 to 37 teams in just a matter of years. But in the international market, very few international soccer leagues have players union. In fact, my experience at Major League Soccer was always that the international players were almost confused as to what is this and what am I paying these dues for, and you know, don't I work for you? So it's always an interesting dynamic when you have such a diverse players pool, but we're fully supportive of it.
How do you guys set up your pay structure for your players?
So everyone is on a base salary that's all different and negotiated. I would say that all the base salaries are living wage, et cetera, et cetera. And then and Eric, Coach Winalda, has talked about this publicly multiple times. He is a big, big believer in structuring it in play bonuses. And he has stated that he learned this from his time in Germany, that of the 25 guys in the locker room, he wants them fighting to make the 18. He wants them fighting to make the 11. He wants them fighting to be, you know, to stay there. And so he has structured it. It's probably more unique than other American teams have, where he does have a lot there is real financial incentive for guys to try and get into the starting lineup. And, you know, it'd be interesting for you to have him on and to talk about that, right? It's a unique model.
I prefer to make jokes about Chalice when he's on.
Well, I get that. But it is a really interesting model that we implemented this year at Coach Rinalda's direction. And I would be curious as we get through the year and to talk to players and coaches, right? There are players on our team that are, I would arguably say, are near or at the top of USL player salaries when we're on a winning streak. And just that creates a really unique dynamic inside the locker room.
Those $100 chips from the plaza add up, don't they?
Well, we didn't do those this year, right? we went way bigger this year.
So you say, you know, every player on your team has, it's paid a livable salary. How many teams across the USL can say that for all of their players?
That they all receive a salary?
Yeah.
I think the vast majority okay. do. I think there certainly are a handful of teams that have, I'll call it the lower end of the roster, that do pure probably play bonuses. And obviously I know the article that you're referencing and those stories get caught up. But that's certainly the exception, and we've never done that here.
How were sales for the USA jersey?
They were good. They were good.
Were they better or worse than the Golden Knights ones?
Probably a little bit less. The Golden Knights were off the charts. The Golden Knights are another level here. But it has caused us internally to think about other, I'll call it commemorative, unique.
You're gonna wear a different jersey for every
special
game.
Jerseys that we could do next year. So the fans seem to really enjoy it. The players really enjoy it. And it's just a nice little point of differentiation.
So
it's a Raiders jersey that's already been mocked up somewhere.
You sold the.
It has been, but I say this with all due respect, and it's not just because I'm a Chiefs fan. It's the most boring jersey in the world.
It's just
a black jersey, and I'm like, huh, that's not really. When you just look at it on the soccer version, you're like, that's not as very exciting.
Terrible. That's not good at all. Yeah. You sold the shorts for the USA jersey.
Yes.
And as soon as I heard it on the video board, I ran up and bought some.
You are a marketer's dream.
Yeah, no, they're wonderful shorts. Are you going to sell the regular black shorts?
So we have them on back order. It's funny. We asked that question just the other day. So as soon as we get those in, you can complete the ensemble.
How did you get Wijnaldum suspended for that game, by the way? I mean, I know you didn't get him, but like, how disappointed were you when Wijnaldum gets suspended for the?
You know, I'll let Eric speak to that himself, right? I will defend our coaches to the end for having passion and for saying what's on their mind and saying what they believe and standing up.
And
obviously, there's a line you can't cross, but I clearly, as an organization, there was no additional discipline to Mr. Rinaldo. In fact, he has my full support.
Can you just buy Dejan Jakovic from LAFC?
If we could, we probably would.
Like, what does Bob Bradley want over there?
Bob Bradley, so it's funny, we had a conversation with him the other day. I don't want to speak for Bob, but there's quite a few opportunities still out there for Dejan and others.
Bring him back. 3 games, he's the best player this team's ever had. Let's go, Brett. Brett Lashbrook, owner of Lights FC. They don't play for like 3 weeks, so you can't even promote anything.
Viva Lights.
I swear to God, I'm breaking your glasses.